Today's program has been brought to you by Hearst Ranch, the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. For more information, visit HearstRanch.com. You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station. We're millions strong, with folks tuning in from over 200 countries. We are education. We are entertainment. We are the future of food. May is our membership drive. Become a member and support us while receiving e-newsletters, advanced invites, special discounts, and a membership card. We need your support. Visit our website and click the donate button to become a member today. Thank you for believing in us, and enjoy the show. This is Rooftop Farming with Ben Flanner, a weekly update on HeritageRadioNetwork.org, live from the Brooklyn Grange.
All right. Thanks and welcome, Ben. We are super excited to tuck into our topic of the day, pests.
Hey, Aaron.
Hi.
Yeah, we're going to talk about pests this week. They have just started to become part of our life at the farm, and they're very seasonal. So we'll continue talking about pests all through the course of the summer and all the way into the fall as they change and different things are coming. And we have two things that are becoming a bit of an issue right now, both very much under control, but getting up on the radar. And they are flea beetles and pigeons. Very different, obviously, but they are both alive and fairly small and problems.
Now, when you say flea, I think, you know, something that I'm going to find on a dog or a cat, but that's not what you're talking about, is it?
Right. They're definitely different. It's an outdoor little bug. Yeah, they never stay on people or anything like that. They like arugula.
Who doesn't?
And I don't know why they're named flea beetles. Actually, we should research it. But they jump around a little bit, which is probably why they got that terminology. So they're something that I feel like a lot of people don't really know much about. But they are definitely a significant issue and a scourge to pretty much every organic farmer that I have regular contact with. People talk about them quite a lot at farming conferences and things like that. They come out right around now in like the spring, late spring kind of season, and they start out usually pretty mild, but they really like hot and dry weather. So especially if we have a hot spring or a hot, dry summer, then that's always when they're more of a problem. They love all things brassica. They like mustard greens. They like arugulas, mizunas, bok choys, kales, although particularly the baby kales, broccoli, things like that. And they eat holes. So actually, as I say that, then, of course, a lot of people that haven't heard of flea beetles will be able to relate to this. How often have you seen little holes, sometimes lots of little holes, in your salad leaf? It looks, terminology, you sometimes say like a shotgun.
It's yeah.
Like, yeah, got blasted by a shotgun. And, that's flea beetles. There's a couple other pests that make, you know, that produce problems similar to that with little holes, but I'd say easily 90% of the holes that you see in greens, particularly arugulas and things like that, are from the holes, or from the flea beetles. One of my friends works at a farm stand, and he says that, when they get a lot of holes, then you end up having to just cut the produce off because it just the flavor evolves very, very slightly, too, and it just loses its aesthetic appeal. But he says that when somebody complains about just a couple holes or something like that, his answer is, "Well, ma'am, this is the proof that we're organic." Or, "Well, sir." So I like that. We're going to start using that because that's, nobody ever wants to throw away a crop if there's a little bit of a problem. One interesting thing is that our older farm has a lot less of them than our new farm. And I remember going through a similar evolution when we started that farm, too. And it seems like as we develop ecosystems, actually, the beetles get a little bit more in check, which is kind of exciting.
So are there, I mean, do you mean, when you say develop ecosystems, what do you mean by that? Like, can you explain that a little bit?
Well, other birds and other larger insects are eating them. We've even found a couple praying mantises at the older farm. So basically, when we start from scratch with an even playing, like a clean slate, we have lots of soil and compost, and we start growing things. And once something starts, like flea beetles or any other type of insect, at least for maybe a season or two, there might be more of an absence of predators to kind of keep them in check. So it's almost like they're growing in this perfect environment for multiplication. And you know, there's not a lot. It's like, you know, deer in a forest where there's no wolves or hunters or something like that and tons of things to eat, or rabbits or something like that. So they multiply a lot. And then it takes maybe a season or two for some of the naturally occurring predators to enter the system and for them to start eating them and multiply and then develop more of a balance.
Wow, so yet another challenge for new farmers. Well, you mentioned pigeons. Yeah. So take us through the pigeon as a pest.
All right. So being in the city, you definitely get some pigeons coming through, and we've always considered them more of a nuisance than anything. We've put up some black flags and things like that to kind of deter them. But actually, just this week, we realized we planted a bed very, very densely of peas. And our plan is actually to harvest them in about 12 days as pea shoots, because we planted them too densely for them to grow and produce the fruits that was planned. There's the pigeons just ravaged them. There's holes everywhere. You can see little signs of them. They're pulling them out of the ground and everything. Definitely the most that I've ever seen pigeons or birds of any kind really eat a bed. You see it picking around a lot, but usually not a huge problem. So we dealt with that with some row cover. We put some Rime, which is like a light, filmy kind of a fabric-y material that allows a significant percentage of the sun to pass through. We put that over, and believe it or not, there were even a couple holes in it where the pigeons had cut through holes. But we see the pea shoots just starting to germinate. So I think we're on the cusp of passing that sort of critical point where we beat them.
Nice. Well, where can we find some of those pea shoots? I mean, when they'll be at market when? I mean, if the pigeons like them so much, I have to assume there's something good happening there.
Exactly. Funny you ask. We just launched our first Saturday market. Every Saturday at the farm in Long Island City, we are having a market through the middle of the day. And a week from this week, so we have one more week, and then a week from this week, we start our farm at McGlorick Market in Greenpoint. And we'll also be having a market on Wednesdays in the Navy Yard. We'll have a lot more detailed information at our website, www.brooklyngrangefarm.com. And we are very excited to start the market season, start some sales.
That sounds great. Well, Ben, thanks so much for taking some time out today to take us through some of the common pests of the rooftop farmer. Really appreciate it.
Right, and there will be many more.
Well, stay tuned for that, folks. Thanks so much for tuning in. And as Ben mentioned, if you want to find out more information on the grain, get the heads up on upcoming events, find out about volunteer opportunities, and get the details on those markets, definitely take a moment to visit them at www.brooklyngrange.com. Thanks so much for tuning in, and keep listening.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.